We're going to now switch gears and talk about the FBI, the federal government that has named Assata Shakur, put her on the terrorist list. We are joined here by Pahneel Joseph, professor of history at Tufts University and author of the book Waiting for the Midnight Hour, A Narrative History of Black Power in America and Dark Days, Bright Nights, From Black Power to Barack Obama. And Pahneel Joseph, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
So I was kind of shocked, actually, when I saw the list come out. I mean, let's take a step backwards. I could do it, but let me let you do it. Tell us the story of Assata Shakur. Let's start there.
Well, Assata Shakur, her original name is Joanne Chesimard, and she's from Jamaica, Queens, in New York City. She joins the Black Panther Party as a young woman. She's a student, a college student, an activist, civil rights activist. When we think about the late 1960s, the Black Panther Party is probably going to be the most well-known radical group that is talking about revolution that's coming out of the 1960s and the civil rights Black Power foment. And the Panthers are a group that basically is going to call for a socialist revolution in the United States, but they're practical revolutionaries, and by that I mean they are going to have guns and berets and have a 10-point program talking about jobs and land, freedom and justice. And at the same time, they're going to open up healthcare clinics, free breakfast programs, and busing to prison programs. So one side of the Panthers is really talking about a revolution in the United States that's similar to the Cuban Revolution or the Algerian Revolution or really the American Revolution. Another side is talking about anti-poverty, human rights, social programs. So she's going to join that group. And when we think about by 1968, the FBI is going to say that Black Panther Party is the number one internal security threat to the nation, even though they only have about 5,000 members. There's going to be a part of the Panthers, and we're thinking about Huey Newton, Bobby Seale, Eldridge Cleaver, and other iconic figures of this period, that is going to be advocating self-defense, and there's going to be a part that's advocating proactive revolutionary violence. And some of those former Panthers are going to break off into a group called the Black Liberation Army. And it's never going to be more than, you know, dozens of people. Some people are going to say 50 to 100 at any time. Some people are going to say the numbers are smaller than that. And Assata Shakur is going to be part of that. And some of those are coming from the New York chapter of the Black Panther Party that very famously was on trial, the so-called New York 21 in 1969, and accused of plotting mayhem from the Bronx and the Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens all the way up to Connecticut, accused of trying to blow up the Botanical Gardens. They're all going to be acquitted, by the way, as well. And some of them are going to take on Afrocentric surnames like Shakur, including Assata and including Afeni Shakur, who is the mother of
Tupac
Shakur. So Assata is Tupac's, step aunt in a way. But basically, when we think about Black Liberation Army, the best way to think about it is similar to the Weather Underground or Weatherman. That was a offshoot of the Students for a Democratic Society, where it was groups who were saying they were going to commit proactive. What they were arguing was revolutionary acts of violence.
Yes, and I think it also is a level of kind of frustration on the part of people who are trying to stop the war and deal with rights in the inner city, and also at that period, I think people don't understand that in certain levels it was a war inside this country in many ways on the Panthers and other people who were in that world. We're going to take a very, very brief break and come right back with Dr. Pahneel Joseph to continue this discussion on Assata Shakur and raise some other issues. Stay with us and join us at 410-319-8888.
Some days I feel like a natural woman, but some days I feel like a victim of this wicked system.
I'll be honest with you. I hate war in all its forms, physical, psychological, spiritual. emotional, environmental. I hate war. And I hate having to struggle. I honestly do, because I wish I had been born into a world where it was unnecessary. This context of struggle and being a warrior and being a struggler.
That was Reluctant Warrior by Asian Dove Foundation with Asata Shakur. And I'm here with Anthony McCarthy, and we are here with Dr. Panil Joseph, professor of history at Tufts University, whose books are Waiting Till the Midnight Hour, A Narrative History of Black Power in America, and Dark Days, Bright Nights, From Black Power to Barack Obama. 410-319-8888 is the number here. But politically speaking, Panil, this is this timing, number of reasons, both in terms of our national politics and in both our international politics. I was reading some from Cuban press in the last 2 days after this happened, the Havana Times this morning, which is an interesting online newspaper that's written mostly from the perspective of young Cubans who are not Communist Party members. These are really very interesting young independent thinkers. One of the articles in there was about somebody was doing tongue-in-cheek. We wish that Cuba would support some terrorists, but they don't. There have been people in exile there, but in fact Cuba is in the process of negotiating between FARC and Colombia. They're trying to get in the middle of a number of things to kind of lessen terrorism in the world. And this, some people think, partially is a push against Cuba, not just against Asada Shakur, but a push against Cuba to push them to the limit and see with Fidel and Raul in their last days maybe, pushing to see how far they can push Cuba politically.
Absolutely. I think that when we look at naming Asada so close on the heels to the Boston bombing tragedy,
right?
You know, right before the 12th anniversary of September 11th, top 10 domestic terrorists. It is the trial balloon, perhaps, in terms of what the Cuban government will do, because there's always rumors that the State Department is willing to, talk to Cuba about ending or just normalizing relations. But part of that would be based on not just Asada, but there's an estimated 90. Fugitives from American justice in Cuba who've come there through the years and have stayed, but certainly Asada Shakur is the most high profile. So, yeah, this is connected to Cuba. And the very fact that Asada went to Cuba is very important, too, because Asada really has become an icon of a kind of, anti-imperialist politics, and certainly Cuba has been the headquarters of that since 1959, even though there's been other countries, and we think about Algeria, Dar es Salaam,
right?
Other African, Latin American countries, Central American countries, and we think about Nicaragua for a time, but the country that has remained socialist, even though we understand there's contradictions within that, is really Cuba for the last, since 1959. So I think that, if Cuba were to give Asada up, obviously that would be huge symbolically and substantively, and the U.S. knows that. But there's been a slow thaw between U.S.-Cuban relations, with more people being allowed to visit under the Obama administration. So I think that is definitely a kind of signal to the Cuban government. But it's also the American right wing trying to make the false analogy,
right,
the activists of the 1960s and 70s and the domestic terrorism promulgated by religious extremism post-September 11th, or even World Trade bombing or by certain real domestic extremists and terrorists. Yeah.
This is Anthony McCarthy. I have been very intrigued by some of the statements and the energy around this. Explain for our listeners, Professor Joseph, what is the practical effect of her being named to this top 10 terrorist list? Angela Davis gave an incredible statement, and I think that a lot of other activists from that era were engaging over the last week at an incredible level. And to see another generation become so interested in the searches of Shakur's name and the information that people are seeking, I'm just curious for our listeners and myself, what is the practical sense of why she was added to this list and what it really means?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. That's a great question. We could talk about positives and negatives. I mean, I think the overwhelming negative is this, that when we think about the logic of the war on terrorism, the logic of the war on terrorism is very similar to the logic of the war on drugs. The war on drugs becomes a metaphor for a war on poor people and black people. Michelle Alexander's brilliant book, The New Jim Crow, which is a New York Times bestseller still after a year,
right.
I've taught for 3 years now, even before it was a bestseller, is a great example of that in terms of what the war on drugs and mass incarceration has wrought on the black community. So when we think about the war on terror, one of the things that we've seen is that the logic of the war on terror, and we see this after the Boston bombing, where we have certain magazines who darkened up the faces of the Zarnoff brothers, who are obviously white, white folks of Chechen background who committed these deplorable acts, these horrendous acts. But when we think about the logic of the war on terror and white supremacy, it's that these have to be brown or black people. So when we think about the overwhelming negative here is there's a concerted effort by the right wing in the United States, there's a concerted effort by conservatives to connect terrorism to darker-skinned people in the United States. And that's what we're seeing. So you even do a blast from the past and say, well, you know, Asada Shakur, this black woman, you release these pictures of her with the locks, the long hair, the old pictures of her with the afro, and say, you know, she's a terrorist too. Right? So that's the overwhelmingly negative. And you try to besmirch a whole period of time when you think about the Black Power movement, late 60s, SDS, the radical ferment that's going on there. So that's the negative. I think the positive is, as you said, I mean, there's a lot of renewed interest. Millions of people who didn't know who Asada Shakur was before this announcement now actually know who she is.
And the rest of us want to go get an interview with her as soon as we can. So,
that's right.
I would love that. Dr. Peniel, I'm sorry, go ahead. We have to take a break, but go ahead very quickly.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, sure.
Because we have another guest coming in, so I just wanted to let you finish up.
Yeah, and you know, now many, many young people are Googling her, finding out about her, but also finding out about people like Angela Davis and these freedom fighters from the Black Liberation era. So the positives are, you know, you can't hide the truth, even if it's a complicated truth. And by demonizing her and putting her on this list, what you're making people do is investigate the history that is all around them, but that is at times very much obscured.
If only they would. And they can start with waiting till midnight, the midnight hour, narrative history of the Black Panther, of Black Power in America. Dr. Peniel Joseph, professor of history at Tufts University, thank you so much for joining us. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you. Thank you, Pat.
Take care.
Thank you.